during Jewish history, we're up to the year 2017. Yosef was home alone, and as we know, Zalicha pounced on him, drew a sword on him, and he ran, and she tore his garment off of him. And he leaves his garment in her hand and runs outside, and she's scared for her life. Maybe someone will hear what happened. So in deceit, she climbs upstairs, changes her clothing, removes all those royal garments she wore. She went back to her bed to play sick. And she calls a young lad and says, "Go quickly, summon everyone back. And tell them they must come back right away." And then she yells and says, "Look at that Hebrew slave. Today he came thinking he'd sleep with me." And they went and told Potiphar what his wife said. And he comes home all angry. And his wife starts yelling at him, "You know what your servant tried to do to me?" And Potiphar ordered Yosef taken out and beaten the most violent beating. And Yosef yells and lifts his eyes to heaven and he says, "Hashem Elohim, you know that I am clean. Why should I be beaten to death over a lie?" And they start beating him, and he starts crying. And as Yosef's crying, there was a little boy, 11 months old, one of Potiphar's kids, and this child had never spoken before. And suddenly, this baby starts talking to Potiphar's men who are beating Yosef, and says to them, "Why are you doing such an evil thing to this man? My mother's lying. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what's been happening here every day." And he starts telling them. They hear this baby talking, so they're stunned. The baby goes silent. And Potiphar, who's been standing there, watching Yosef being beaten to a bloody pulp, he gets all embarrassed. And he tells the servant, "Stop hitting him." Potiphar says, "Okay, something strange over here. I want the king's priests, his judges, to judge the case." So the people tell Yosef, "Why would you do such a disgraceful act towards your master?" And Yosef says, "No, this isn't what happened. I'll tell you what happened." So the priests order to have Yosef's garment brought before them. And they say, "Let's see. If the garment has tears in the front of the garment, that means he was trying to make advances, and she pushed back the garment against his neck, and that's why the front is worn and torn, because he was trying to advance at her. But if his story is true, that she was trying to pull him towards her and he pulled away, so then the back of the garment will have tears in it, because that's the direction he pulled." And they examine the garment and they see that Yosef's version is the truth. So they said, "You know what? He doesn't deserve to be killed. The only problem you have is the rumor that he made advances against your wife. This servant only deserves to be jailed, because you can't have a servant walking around that everyone heard that he made advances against your wife. You can't leave him around. So throw him in jail." So they throw him into the jail for 12 months. And Zalicha hasn't given up. She comes to the jail on a daily basis. And after 3 months, Zalicha's coming and she says, "Listen, why should you stay in jail? Listen to me, I'll take you out." And Yosef tells her, "I'd rather stay in jail than listen to you and rebel against Hashem." And she says, "If you don't listen to me, I will have them gorge out your eyes." And Yosef says, "You know, there's a God who controls all of earth, and he could save me from anything you do to me. He gives sight to those that are blind. He takes people out of prison." there's a master of all things. You're not going to win. And when she heard that, she gave up. And she stopped going to the jail. Now back in Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov and his sons are mourning Yosef. Yaakov refuses to be comforted. And he's weeping over Yosef day in and day out. The year that Yosef descended to Egypt, Reuven went to Timnas, and he married a woman named Elyoram, the daughter of Chivi, one of the Canaanites, and she bore him a child named Chanoch, Falu, Chetzron, and Carmi. Shimon married Dina, and he had Nemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, and Tsochar. And then he married a girl named Bona, a Canaanite. And Bona was like a servant. They had this form of marriage back then. And she gave birth to a child, Shaul.
Who married Buma?
Shimon.
They married Dina.
He had two wives. Oh. Yehuda went to Adulam. And he married a woman named, he married the daughter of a Canaanite there. Her name was Ilat Bat Shua. And she bore him Er, Onan, and Shelah.
So there wasn't Jew.
Right. Now, if you remember, Shem had a grandson named Aver. And he had a son named Yoktan, and he had a son named Yovav, and he had two daughters. So Levi married one of his daughters, and her name was Adina.
Whose daughter?
Yovav's daughter.
Who's Yovav?
Yovav was Aver's grandson. Aver was Shem's grandson. Yisachar married the younger daughter named Arida. And they brought them back to the land of Canaan. Adina gave birth to Gershon, Kehat, and Merari, Levi's three sons. And Arida, who was the sister, she was Yisachar's wife. She gave birth to Tola, Puva, Yov, and Shimron. Now, later on, we're going to see that Yisachar didn't know that Yov was a name of a pagan god. So he names his son Yov, and later on he's going to find out that Yov is the name of an idol they worship. So he changes his name. He takes out one of his shins and gives it to Yov, and that's why later on in Tanakh, Yov is called Yashuv, and that's why we read Yisachar, not Yisaschar, because so to speak, he removed one of the shins from his name and gave it to his son. Dan went to Moab, and he married Aflala, the daughter of Hamudan, who was a Moabite, and he brought her back. And initially she was barren, and then later God granted her a child named Hushim. Remember, Dan had a deaf son named Hushim, Hushim ben Dan. God and Naphtali went to Haran. They took the daughters of Amoram, the son of Uz, the son of Nahor. So that's their second cousin once removed. Naphtali married the girl Merimat. God married her little sister Utsit. They brought them to Canaan, and Merimat gave birth to Yachzel, Guni, Yetzer, and Shilem. And Utsit gave birth to Tzifion, Chagi, Shuni, Etzbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. Asher married a girl named Adon. Her father's name was Afalal. His father's name was Hadad, and the great-grandfather's name was Yishmael. So Asher is marrying into Yishmael. He's marrying Yishmael's great-granddaughter. And Adon passed away without children. And then Asher went and married Adon, Yishmael's granddaughter, great-granddaughter. And then Asher marries a second wife named Hadorah. She is the granddaughter of Aver. So Asher's second wife was the granddaughter of Aver. And initially she was married to Malkiel, her cousin. Malkiel was actually her father's cousin. And she had a daughter from her first husband named Serach. So this is an important medrash. We learn a lot of things from this medrash. And then her husband died, Malkiel died, and then Asher married her. So when we talk about Serach Bas Asher, she's not really his daughter. She's his wife's daughter. But because he brought her up, she's called his daughter. And Serach is going to be a major figure in Jewish history. She's going to live for hundreds of years. And she's going to have a great impact on the Jewish people. She's going to save people's lives. We're still going to see. So she grew up as though she was one of Yaakov's kids. And she was very good looking, very intelligent. And later on, in King David's time, when it describes there was a very wise woman who saved the city, when Sheva ben Bichri rebelled against King David, and then they surrounded the city he was in, and they were ready to kill the whole city. So there was one old wise woman who said, "Where's Yoav? Where's King David's chief general?" So Yoav says, "It's I." So she says, "I want a word with you, young man." He says, "Fine." She comes out of the city, and she says to him, "Why are you killing the whole city?" So Yoav says, "I don't want to kill the whole city. I just want Sheva ben Bichri, the guy who started the rebellion." So she said, "Fine, you'll have him. Don't kill the city. I'll give him to you." She comes back to the city. Now you got to figure she's about 700 years old at that point. Right? 400 years after Egypt and the period of the judges. And she's still around, the same Serach. We're still going to see why she married it to such longevity. She comes into the city and says, "Listen here, guys. I spoke to Yoav just now. You know I was out there. I spoke to him. And we had a conference. And Yoav said he doesn't need to kill the whole city. He says, if we only give over half the city, he'll let us go. So we can get away with it. Look, why should we all die? He has the city surrounded and he has his soldiers." So the people are starting to grumble and they say, "Gee, I wonder who's going to go. But we don't have a choice." Then she says, "You know what? I bargained him down. He's not insisting on half the city. He's insisting on a quarter of the city. Most of the people will walk away alive." So now the odds are up, 75%. Everyone says, "Gee, we can walk away alive. Chances are I'll be alive. That's great." Then she says, "But you know what? I bargained them down even more. He doesn't need 75%, 10%, 5%. And she keeps talking to them until she says, "You know what? I got him down to one person. All we got to do is give him one person and the rest of us can walk away alive." So they say, "Who is it?" She says, "Sheva ben Bichri." They say, "Really?" They take off his head and they throw it over the wall. And in her wisdom, the way she spoke to the people, she was able to save the whole city. Now, technically, it was pretty obvious. The only one who led the rebellion was Sheva ben Bichri. Obviously, they wanted him. But she knew how to set it up that they would appreciate that they were getting a bargain. If she would have just walked in and said, "All they want is Sheva ben Bichri," the people would have said, "Of course they want Sheva ben Bichri. They want our leader. After that, they'll take us all down." She set it up right. Who was this wise woman? It was Asher's stepdaughter. This girl, who wasn't even from the tribe. She just grew up. She was Asher's wife's daughter from her first marriage. That famous Serach Bas Asher. Now, Asher's wife, Hadura, gave birth to Yimna, Yishva, Yishvi, and Bria. And Zevulun married Merushat, the daughter of Moled, the son of Aviad, the son of Midian. And he had the children Sered, Elon, and Yachleel. So now we see the marriages of all of the tribes, except for Yosef and Binyamin, still to be seen. And that brings us to the year 2218. And we'll learn, Be'ez Hashem, next time about the Shidduch of Binyamin.